Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballou of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballou and today's broadcast.
Thank you and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day together by the radio and study His eternal Word together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out, get your Bible, and turn with us today as we open God's precious Word. We're reading today from the book of Psalms 91 and continue our study on the subject of prayer. Verse number 1 of Psalms 91, the Bible said, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Here we have a great promise from the Word of God if we will enter into the secret place and pray. The Bible said, "He that dwelleth," that means to come in and stay a while, "he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." If we will spend time with God in prayer, then we can rest assured of God's protection upon our life. I've spent several broadcasts preaching on praying, and I'm surely not exhausting the subject, but we're going to move on this week and look at another part of this study on prayer. I want to preach on why the devil hates the secret place. Did you ever notice when you start to pray or you make plans to pray, how many different things the devil brings up in your mind that need to be done? Often they are important things, and they're things that demand attention. But it seems like you never think about them until you think about praying. But then when you start to pray, the devil brings all of these things up that you need to be doing. You can even get in your place of prayer and be praying, and while you're praying, the devil will come to you and put the thoughts in your mind of how many things that you need to be doing instead of spending that time in prayer. I pointed out to you on the broadcast last week how that the devil opposes us when we go to our place of prayer. And so I want to deal this week on why the devil hates the secret place. Why is it that when you start to pray, you face opposition like you do in no other part of serving the Lord? The devil literally hates the secret place, and he desires to keep you from entering into that place and spending time alone with God. Let me remind you, the Bible said in the book of Matthew, chapter number 6, verse number 6, "And thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, then pray to thy Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth in secret shall reward you openly." This Bible does teach us that as children of God, we are to have a personal, private place of prayer that is known as our secret place. And I promise you, if you ever get in the habit of entering into the secret place of prayer, then you will encounter opposition from the devil trying to hinder you from spending time alone with God. And I want to build upon the question why and give several answers as the Holy Ghost directs me during these days of the broadcast this week. I'm asking the question why the devil hates the secret place. Let me say to you, first of all, that the devil does not want you in the secret place, because staying in the secret place with God for any period of time will give us an awareness of our sin. And the devil does not like that. He knows if we hang around God long, that God will start shining His light on the sins that are in our life. And you see, the devil loves for us to be involved in the sinning business. He does not even want us to be conscious or aware of our sinfulness before God. But the more we stay around God, the more conscious we become of our sins. So the devil hates the secret place, because in the secret place, God gives us an awareness of our sin. The devil will cause us to get a distance from God, and when we get away from God, then our sins do not seem so big and so bad to us, and so we allow what we call little sins to creep into our life, and we leave them there unconfessed and unjudged. And the devil knows, if we hang around God, that the light of the Word of God will shine in our life and let us see ourselves as God sees us. So he hates the secret place, because the secret place gives us an awareness of sin. As I was preparing to preach the broadcast, I thought about these, and let me just mention them. I cannot deal with all of them in many broadcasts, but I wrote this down. Many of us are like Simon Peter. We're following the Lord afar off and not even aware of it. Many of us are like Ananias. We have not fulfilled our promises that we made unto God. Many are like the Corinthians. They are spiritual babes and don't even know it, enjoying their babyhood without ever growing up. Many of us are like the Ephesian people that John wrote to in the book of the Revelation, chapter number 2. We have a lot of good works, but we've left our first love and are not even aware of it. Many of us, my friend, are like the legalist in the book of Galatians. We're wrapped up in our own righteousness, and we're not looking to the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then many are like the Laodicean church in the book of the Revelation, chapter number 3, verse number 14 through verse number 19. We're neither hot nor cold. We're lukewarm, and we're satisfied in that condition. But friend, when you get in the secret place, God begins to reveal to you your sinfulness before him. He will rebuke you for your following afar off. He'll rebuke you for not fulfilling all the promises you've made to him. He will rebuke you for being a baby and not growing up in the work and cause of Christ. He will rebuke you for leaving your first love. He'll rebuke you for trusting in your own righteousness instead of the righteousness of God. And he'll rebuke you for being lukewarm. He said, I'd rather you were hot or cold, but because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. But you cannot hang around that secret place long without God making you aware of your sinfulness. That I want you to notice a very familiar personality in the Bible that gives us a good example of what I'm speaking about. In the book of Isaiah, chapter number 6, Isaiah is a good man. He's a prophet of God. In fact, back up in chapter number 5, Isaiah is a finger-pointing, fireball fundamentalist. He's preaching to everybody and pronouncing woe unto them. And he looks at another crowd and said, woe unto them, at least 6 or 7 times in chapter number 5 of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah pronounces a woe upon someone else. But the Bible said in chapter number 6, verse number 1, Isaiah said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. And he said he was high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Isaiah is brought into the place of the presence of God. And so, my friend, when he does see the Lord, then it changes his entire perspective. Notice the Bible talks about the description that Isaiah saw. He saw the Lord supreme. And it tells about how that he's on the throne. He's high and lifted up, and his train fills the temple. And he said above it stood the cherubims. Each one had 6 wings, and he describes them. They're crying out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. But then in verse number 5, after he sees the Lord supreme, then he sees his low-down self. Now, here's my point. In chapter number 5, Isaiah is pointing a finger of accusation at everyone else. He sees everybody's sins but his own. But when he comes to chapter number 6, and when he sees the Lord supreme, notice the changing of his condemnation. Then said I, woe is me, not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord. Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. You see, friend, when Isaiah is brought into the presence of God, he sees the Lord supreme. He sees him high and lifted up. He sees him sitting on a throne, and he sees him in his holiness and in his splendor of righteousness. And when Isaiah sees the Lord, then he sees his low-down self. You see, friend, here's a great lesson that we need to learn. If we look at others, we may look pretty good. I mean, I could call somebody up by the side of me in the pulpit in the church, and I could point them out, and I could say to them, I'm as good as you are. And they could say back to me, yes, but I'm as good as you are. You see, when we compare ourselves by ourselves, we look pretty good. But friend, when we get in that secret place and we start seeing the holiness of God and the righteousness of God, and we start comparing ourselves with God's standard and not man's standard, then we find ourselves as Isaiah did. We're undone. We're a person of unclean lips, and we need something from God. We need him to cleanse us, and God will do that. You see, here's a good illustration. You can take a white house, and it may look beautiful and white, and you would say, that's a white house, but you let it snow. And when the snow falls, even a beautiful white house becomes dirty and dingy as you compare it with the whiteness of the snow. Friend, the devil knows if you hang around that secret place, you're going to quit looking at man in their own wicked state. You're going to see the holiness and righteousness of God. And when you see his holiness and his righteousness, then you're going to see your unholiness and your unrighteousness. And you're going to cry out with Isaiah, woe is me! It's not my brother, it's not my sister, but it's me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. Oh, my friend, the devil hates the secret place, because the secret place brings us into an awareness of our sinfulness before God. And so you can expect the devil to do what he can to keep you out of that secret place, because he wants to keep you dirty and defiled before God Almighty. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoyed the broadcast today. How I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day together by the radio and study his word together. Let me encourage you that you pray for the broadcast, that the Lord would bless it and use it to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, I want to encourage you that you write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at this same time. God bless you until the next broadcast.
Oh, do not wait. It's growing.